Hi, good evening. The parsha is the parsha of Emor. And we're going to talk a little bit about Tumat Kohanim. Before we do that, let's just review in our minds the approximate structure of the book of Vayikra. The book of Vayikra is the book which is most foreign to us, the book that we don't usually get to act upon, because the book of Vayikra is very much about the Beit HaMikdash. At that time, in the time of the desert, the Mishkan, the tabernacle. It's about Korbanot, and it's about Avodah, the service of God in the Beit HaMikdash, which was done by the Kohanim, the Leviim, and the people who brought the Korbanot. All of that is missing for us. We don't have the Korbanot, we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. We're unable to follow through on the things in this third book of the Torah. And moreover, beyond what we're missing because we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, we're also missing the service of the Kohanim. What they did besides the Korbanot, the Leviim who sang and made music in the Beit HaMikdash, all of that is missing. Our parasha of Emor starts out with a very, very special halacha about the Kohanim. The pasuk says, "V'yomer Hashem el Moshe le'mor el ha-Kohanim." B'nei Aharon, an introduction. God speaks to Moshe and says to him, speak to the Kohanim, the sons of Aharon. Ve'amarta aleihem, you will say to them, La'nefesh lo yitama ba'ama, but that's the continuation. La'nefesh lo yitama ba'ama. He should try, the Kohanim, should avoid becoming Tamei. The word Tamei could be translated by unclean, but that's not what it means. It means becoming unfit to do the service of God in the Beit HaMikdash. And how do you become unfit? Well, you come into contact with somebody who is Tamei, the most likely is the dead person, the corpse. So the people who do the mitzvah of taking care of the dead, preparing them for burial, all of them must necessarily be tamei. And so the pasuk says, La nefesh lo yitama ba'amav, that's pasuk aleph, and pasuk bet says, Ki imle. There are certain exceptions. Certain exceptions where you're allowed, but generally a Kohen is not allowed to become Tamei. It's as though he's always on reserve duty for working in the Beit HaMikdash, for doing what has to be done in the Beit HaMikdash. Rashi says, remember Rashi? So Rashi says, Emor la Kohanim, Emor v'amarta. I mean, it's a little strange that the pasuk says both words, Amor, speak to the Kohanim, and then V'amar Dalehem, and say to them as follows. It's a departure. I mean, most of the pasukim we know in the Torah, V'yom V'edaveh Hashem Moshe Le'mor. Once is enough, as follows. Why Amor ala Kohanim V'amar Dalehem? That's what the question that appears in the Medrash and in Rashi. Rashi says, Emor v'amarta, lazhir gedolim al haktanim. He says there are two audiences. There's the audience of the adult Kohanim, who are the direct recipients of the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there are the children of these elder Kohanim. And they have to teach the Ketanim. Okay, Then the Rashi goes on to explain B'nai Aharon, who is it addressed to? Yechol Chalalim, people who are not actually liable to do the service of the Beit HaMikdash, Talmud Lomar, HaKohanim, including everybody. B'nai Aharon, Af B'nai Mumin B'mashma, even those who are have physical blemishes, so they're also usually excluded from worship in the Beit HaMikdash. B'nei Aaron, v'lo b'not Aaron, we're not talking about the daughters, only the sons. Lo yitama ba'amav. Lo yitama ba'amav. He should not become tamei ba'ot sh'amet b'toch amav, as long as the dead person is, will be taken care of by somebody else. I mean, if the situation arises that the kohen is confronted by a meit mitzvah, a dead person who we are commanded, if we can, to take care of him, right? That's the meit mitzvah, to take care of the meit mitzvah. So in other words, what Rashi seems to teach us is that this is a very serious matter. This matter of tumah is very serious. And I just want to tell you that this comes also... I mean, this is also something that we learned at the Tanchuma, which we will come to presently. Now, if you have the sheet that I prepared, so just turn it over. And in the book of Vayikra, there are mostly rules and regulations, nothing particularly personal. But there is one story that is absolutely remarkable and defies understanding at first. That's the story of B'nai Aaron Nadav ve'Avihu, the book of Vayikra, Perek Yud, the first two, three psukim. What do they say? Vayikhu B'nai Aaron Nadav ve'Avihu, and Nadav ve'Avihu, the sons of Aaron, Vayikhu, they took. Ish machdato, they took these censers where they put the ketoret, sacrifice. Vayitnu b'hem esh, they fired them up. Vayasimu alei ketoret. Vayakrivu l'fnei Hashem esh zarah shelo tzivatam. They went and they were kohanim, the sons of Aaron are kohen, and they decided to sacrifice the ketoret, the sweet smelling sacrifice, and they decided on their own. They said this looks like a good thing to do. Let's do it. Let's do it. Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem, and they sacrificed an esh zarah. Esh zarah means an exceptional fire, unprogrammed, unlisted, not halachic, not what should be. We don't know why they did it. Asher lo tzivah otam. That's what the pasuk says. They were not commanded to bring this fire, but they brought the fire in any event. Pasuk bet, v'teitzei eish b'lifnei Hashem v'tochal otam, v'yamutu lifnei Hashem. It seems that there was great agitation, unhappiness. They immediately sentenced Nadav v'Avihu in heaven. They sentenced Nadav v'Avihu to death, and the fire came down from heaven and consumed them, v'tochal otam. Vayamutu lifnei Hashem, and they died. They died. So here you have Nadav HaAvihu doing something strange, being punishing them immediately on the spot. There was no, I mean, they could have gone to Moshe Rabbeinu and claimed, as they did in other cases, somebody denied the rules of Shabbat. And he was put into jail until Moshe Rabbeinu could find out what should happen with him. Here, there's no intermediary. It's as though Nadav Avihu acted against God, and God acted against them immediately. It was an immediate response. So, Rashi quotes this. Oh, I'm sorry. Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Moshe l'Aharon, Hu Asher Dibar Hashem Lemor. And Moshe said to Aaron, it was Aaron is the father. Nadav v'Avihu, we don't know too much about them. But let's assume they were okay until this moment. They weren't trying to run away. They weren't trying to run away from responsibility. They weren't trying to deny the fact that they were Kohanim. They weren't trying to deny the fact that you had to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beit HaMikdash, at least that's what I think. And yet, they were lying dead before their father Aaron. Vayomer Moshe Aaron, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Lemor. This is what God meant. God meant. We don't know when God meant it or when God said it, but what did God say? Bikrovai Ekadesh. I will be sanctified by those closest to me. Valpnei kol ha'am ekaved, and I will be honored before the entire nation. And this is like a mystery statement. Vayidom Avraham. And Aaron, Vayidom Aaron, he had nothing to say. He, Aaron, had nothing to say. So it's not hard to say that there's a hidden story here which has to be understood. So let's look at the Rashi. Vateitzei Eish. Vateitzei Eish. The fire came out. They consumed them. Rabbi Eliezer Omer lo metu b'nei Aaron ela al yidei shoru halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabbo. Why did they die? Why was it determined that the death penalty is the appropriate response? Because they denied the authority of Moshe Rabban. Moshe, their teacher. Moshe, the person who taught them what they should do and by implication what they shouldn't do. And even though Moshe Rabbeinu did not teach them to bring this Ketoret sacrifice, they brought it anyway. Right? Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shtuye Yayin Nichnesu LaMikdash. And Rabbi Yishmael said, they were drunk. Drunk meaning they lost their minds. They accepted upon themselves the authority to determine what the Torah wants. But at the same time, they lost their minds. And that was a tremendous sin. Teda. Sha'achar mitatan, you should know that after they died, his hira notarim shelo yikanzu shtoye yayin lamikdash. And after they died, the Torah says quite explicitly that drunkenness and serving God do not go together. Those made me wonder about Purim, but that's something for a different occasion. Mashal lemelech. Shayalo ben Bayit Kidita Bivayikra Rabbo. So he quotes the Medrash in Vayikra. So in other words, there are two opinions. The opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is that the children of Aaron, the sons of Aaron, they denied Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. They said not only Moshe Rabbeinu can tell you what to do in the Beit HaMikdash, but we can tell you what to do in the Beit HaMikdash. The second opinion of Rabbi Yishmael said, they lost their minds because they were drunk and they refused to accept the fact that they could not determine what to do. So that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yishmael were looking for a way to say this. Their crime was not just a crime of omission or a crime of adding something, but it was a crime against the Torah itself. It said either that Moshe Rabbeinu was not the only one who's going to teach the Torah, but any of us could do it. Any of us could teach that. According to Rabbi Ishmael, that's not the way he understands it at all. But according to Rabbi Yishmael, they lost their minds. And they didn't recognize the fact they lost their minds. They drank. And when you're drunk, you can't paskin. I mean, that's a halacha. If there's a posek, somebody who is asked shilas to determine the law, He can't answer questions when he's drunk. Because drunkenness equals losing your mind. And losing your mind doesn't go along with the Torah. We have to understand the tradition of interpretation and the tradition of the halakha. So that story, the story remains a little bit unclear. The part about what did he do? What did he do? So then the pasuk, Vayomer Moshe, the pasuk Gimel, Vayomer Moshe l'Aaron, v'Hashem diber Hashem l'Emor. This is what God told us about. Told us what's going to happen. God told us this, Rashi, Hashem diber, Heichan diber. Where, what is Moshe Rabbeinu talking about? What's he referring to? So the pasuk says, V'no'adeti shama livnei Yisrael, v'nikdash bichvodi. I will meet up there in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, livnei Yisrael, with the people. V'nikdash bichvodi, and I will be sanctified with the honor that they give me. Al tikrei bichvodi, ela b'mechubadi. So the Chachamim had this way of understanding. I mean, it's a separate conversation almost. That you know, Hebrew is a language that needs vowels. It doesn't have any vowels. So over the years, different systems were developed. So we use a simple system of nikud. We have a vowel that's an A and an E and an U and an O, but we write the Sefer Torah that we read from in shul on Shabbat without vowels. I mean, there are a little bit of vowels in the letters that are vowels. Like the word Torah was a word that we use a lot. Taf, Vav, Resh, Hey. So that Hey at the end, what is it doing there exactly? If you remember your stay in Ulpan, you can probably all attest to the fact that Hey at the end is not part of the Shoresh. It's not part of the essential word, which is Taf Resh or Taf Vav Resh, but there's no Hey in the Shoresh. So what is that Hey doing there? Well, that Hey is a vowel. The Hey says that the vowel following the Resh is A. That's what it says. But that system was very limited. It only worked in certain cases, and by the 9th century, much later than the Tanaim and the Amoraim and the Saboraim. But at that time, they developed systems of vocalization that helped me to read the words correctly. But that left me an interesting option of drashot, that you had a word that was not vocalized. And because it was not vocalized, you didn't always know how to read it. So you could read it one way, you could read it another way. Chazal thought that might be meaningful. The fact that you could read words in the Torah in different ways, even though there was one proper way to read it, the way you read it in shul, the way the Baal Kore in shul reads it, but you could still read it in another way. So this word that we're talking about, Al tikrei bichvodi, ela b'mechubadi. You can read it that way, right? In other words, you just jiggle around the vowels. Take my word for it. So that proves that this pasuk in Shmot Perikav Tet, right? The Adeti Shama Libnei Yisrael V'Nikdash Bichvodi really is about Mechubadi. That not only will I be honored by the people, but I'll be honored by the most important people. Most important people. Amalo Moshe L'Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron, Aaron, achi, yodea hayiti, sheyit kadesh, abayit bimiyu adav shel makov. I knew that the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash, the sanctity of the Beit HaMikdash, will be established by those who are close to him. Vayiti savur obi obicha, and I thought to myself, Moshe Rabbeinu says in this medrash that Rashi is quoting, he says, I didn't mention it because I thought it would be you or me. So I didn't want to distress you. I didn't want you to think that something was happening that you didn't know about, because I thought probably that it would be me. Achshav ro'eh ani, Rashi continues, she'em gedolim mimcha, mimeni u'mimcha. Now I see when God was talking about the great people in the nation, the nikdash b'mchubadi, that I will be sanctified, meaning the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, the tabernacle will be sanctified by the greats of the nation. I thought surely that would be either you or me. Parentheses, probably he thought it would be him. Moshe Rabbeinu, now I see, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, I see it wasn't you and it wasn't me. But in fact, ro'eh ani shehem gedolim mimeni uvimcha. I see that Nadav v'Avihu are greater yet than you and that me. Now Rashi, by quoting this medrash, he changes the whole story. I mean, even though I was reading the story, it sounded like they were doing something bad. Now it sounds like they were doing something great. I mean, they had to give up their lives, but it was great. It wasn't just like they weren't robbers and they weren't murderers. They didn't mess up the world, but they tried to sanctify the world. And in fact, they did. Well, why were they punished with the fire from heaven? Why was that? But before we get to that, you see, Vayidova Aaron, Aaron was quiet, Kibel Sachar Shtikato. He was rewarded for his quietness. Umasachar Kibel, what did he get? Shinit Yached Imo Adibush Memalo Levado Parshat Shtuyayim. What did Aaron get for giving his two sons, his two oldest sons, in order that the Mikdash, the Mishkan, the tabernacle should become sanctified? What did he get? He got a portion of the Torah. Because the next part of the Torah talks about the prohibition of drinking intoxicating beverages when you go into the Beit HaMikdash, and that was taught directly to Aaron. All of the Torah was taught first to Moshe and then to the others, right? To the important people, less important, but everybody learned that portion of the Torah. But this was taught to The Pasuk says, Pasuk Chet, Vedaber Hashem el Aaron Lemor. That introduces the Pasuk Yain B'Sheichar Al Teish Natal V'Nech Itach V'Borachem El Ol Moed. Don't drink when you come to Ol Moed. That's how Rabbi Yishmael knew that it must be drunkenness. Rabbi Eliezer says, well, it's a form of drunkenness. If you're standing before Moshe Rabbeinu and you say something halachic or something that the God wants of us, and you say, Father Moshe Rabbeinu, you disagree with him, well, you have to be mad or drunk. So there the pasuk says, where the Be'er Hashem l'Aharon le'mor, only Aaron is addressed, and that was the Sechar. The Sechar is that every year we come to this parasha, we come to the parasha of Shmini. 2 weeks ago, we come to the parish of Shmini, and we say, "Vaydaber Hashem el Aaron lemor forever and ever." Is there a greater reward? Is there a greater reward than having kavod, the kavod of receiving a parasha, the Torah? He Aaron, received the parasha, and he, Aaron, had to disseminate that Torah to the rest of the world. And we, when we read the parasha on Shabbat in Shul, we say it again and again, Vayedaber Hashem El Aaron Lemor, and that was the prize that Aaron received. Now this is repeated again, this story. Let me just finish the Rashi. Al Pnei Kol Ha'am Kaved, Shakadosh Baruch Hu said, Din Betzadikim Mityarei Mitale Umitkales. Okay, this is a different topic. I would just like to get back to where we were. If you look at Perek Tet Zayin, Achremot Shnei Bnei Aaron, Bekarvatam Lefnei Hashem Leyamutu. This is a kind of preci of the story. They here, however, it says Bekarvatam, they brought a sacrifice before God, and they died. Okay, and then it says in the second pasuk, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Daber l'Aharon achicha v'yavo b'kol eid al hakodesh. He should not come any time. No, this is the halacha that was abrogated by Nadav Avihu. Mi beit laparochet al b'nei hakaporet asher l'Aharon v'lo yamutu. Ki v'anani ra'el hakaporet. He says, don't come whenever you want to come, whenever you occurs to you to come. Rashi. It says, Ma Talmud lomar haya Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah moshlom mashal lechole shenichnas etzlo rofei. A sick person was visited by a doctor. Amar lo al tochal tzonan v'al tishkav betachav. I mean, this is, I can sympathize with this very easily. There's, the doctor says, don't eat this and don't sleep there. Ba'acher v'amar lo, and the other guy says, the second doctor comes in and says the same thing. He tells him to, you know, don't eat this and don't sleep there, and otherwise you'll probably die like Plony died. Zezir zo yoter min arishon. Zezir zo yoter min arishon. The second one is more effective. You say, otherwise you're going to die. I mean, that's pretty effective. You know, nobody wants to die. Zezir zoyotem ben Arishon, the second doctor, is more effective than the first doctor. L'chein ne'mar, acherei mot, shnei b'nei Aharon. In other words, what the Torah says is, before I tell you what I want to tell you, I want you to think about the two sons of Aaron who died. The two sons of Aaron who died. The next pasuk says, "Daber el Aaron achicha v'ayavo b'chol eit el hakodesh." Exactly what Nadav and Avihu did, you're not allowed to do. You have to come. You could only come into the Beit HaMikdash on special times, times that are noted. On Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kodeshim, but only on Yom Kippurim. Only Yom Kippurim. So we've seen, I think we have seen, that there's a general law of Tumah connected to Kohanim. Kohanim have to be ready to do the Avoda in the Beit HaMikdash. And because of that, they have to avoid becoming Tamei, so that even if somebody dies, they can't participate in the funeral. They're in constant coronavirus mode. They can't participate unless it's, Rashi said, unless it's a Beit Mitzvah, unless there's no one else, really no one else in the world is going to bury the dead, then it becomes reasonable to do so. But in any event, burying the dead is possible in certain cases, but generally speaking, you have to stay away from anything that creates tum'ah, that creates this kind of special mystical uncleanliness, right? So on the sheet there is a long passage from the Pre Tzaddik, which I suggest you give a shot, you try it. and I'm going to just quote a few lines. So he quotes the Tanchuma that's also on the sheet, and he says this. I'm looking at the pre-tzaddik, not at the Tanchuma, but it's the same. But Tanchuma Amira Bet Ba'amim, you know, as it says in the Pasuk, Amira, Aleph Mem Resh, twice, right? Emor Lakohanim, Va'amarta Alehem, that's twice. Lama Davar Domeh, Litabach, Amar HaMelech Litabach. It's also this case. He quotes the case of Amar HaMelech, Gozer Ani Alecha Shelotir Et Amet, Mipnei sha'ata yotzei v'nichnas v'chulei shelo titma et apalterin sheli kakazar kodesh baruch hu al hakohanim hanichnasim lebeit hamikdash shelo yitam'u lemeit. So the Tanchuma tries to understand, and so it says. It's like the king has servants who are maintaining somehow the household. So he says, look, when you come into my household, I want you to be clean. I want you to look good. I don't want you to mess around outside and come in looking like a mess. It's the same thing. The Isur of Tumo is about the Beit HaMikdash. It's about the Mishkan. I keep exchanging those two words, but you understand that that's all right. The Beit HaMikdash, I mean, the Kohanim have to go in and out. They go in, they go out. So they should always be prepared. Always be prepared means that it should always be tahorim. They shouldn't allow themselves to become unclean, which is what a non-Jewish king might say. You shouldn't make my castle unclean. So God said, you Kohanim who are coming into the Beit HaMikdash, who are going to come into the Beit HaMikdash, I mean, you should not be Tamei. You should not be Tameh because you might come in at any time. Okay. So the pre-tzaddik says this. This is his question. The Fi Tam said, Lo yatzarich liyot isur tumat kohanim rak bizman shebeit hamikdash kayam. So okay. That's what the Torah says. The Torah says, according to the Tanchuma, when you go into the Beit HaMikdash, you should be clean. So even when you're not going into the Beit HaMikdash, avoid tumah. Don't get yourself involved. That's what the pre-tzaddik says. He says it should be that my implication from this is etzrich liot esur tumat kohanim rak bizman Beit HaMikdash kayam. He says this is something that is connected to the Beit HaMikdash. So there's no Beit HaMikdash. Why would I care about tumah v'tahara? I mean, what difference does it make? Shenichnasim la'avod avodah v'lo bizman hazeh. V'lo bizman hazeh. Today there shouldn't be anything, any laws of tumah v'tahara. V'gam ech yitamah kohen et Beit HaMikdash im b'yimei tumato v'asur lavo l'mikdash. He doesn't understand. How could the Pasuk say that he might make the Beit HaMikdash tameh? I mean, he's not allowed to go into the Beit HaMikdash. I mean, if he does it against the rules, Mela, but according to the rules, he can't go into the Beit HaMikdash. He can't make it Tameh. He can't make anything. Below Dafka Kohen, Hakol Yisrael Musarim Alzen. Everybody, it's forbidden for everybody to go into the Beit HaMikdash when they're Tameh. Not just the Kohanim. Uchadash Yitar, Mutar Lavo. After he goes through the process of becoming tahor, right? He does the mikveh, and then Arif Shemesh, the sun goes down. Mutar lavo. Uma bekach shu ragil lavo lebeit hamikdash kshe yitma lo yavo hu. V'akriv acher. He says that, so what if he's used to going to the Beit HaMikdash sometimes? When he's tamei, he won't go. And somebody else will go in place, in his place, in his stead. V'sheyitar mutar lavo, u'ma v'kach shehu ragil lavo le'Beit HaMikdash k'sheyitma. Lo yavo hu v'yakriv acher. V'yakriv acher. U'belav hachi ayu. Chalukim, the Kof Dalet Mishmerot. In any event, everybody knows that the Kohanim were divided into 24 groups. Ulishisha Bate Avot, we call Echad Makriv, Rakbi Yomo, Velo Yabala Beit HaMikdash. Velava Eino Yachol Itame As. He says, and really, we know that the Kohanim had, there was like the division. They were divided into 24 groups, each one came for 2 weeks. And the other weeks of the year, you didn't come at all. So the pre-tzaddik says, why couldn't he become Tameh? You know, we have the wrong idea. We have in back of our minds the idea that Tameh is something bad. But it's not. It's just a realistic thing. If you're Tameh, you can't work in the Beit HaMikdash. But if you're not working in the Beit HaMikdash, it doesn't really matter if you're Tameh or not. And since the work of the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash was organized, and it took a week to change Tameh into Tahor, so everybody was able to plan. If they were Tameh, they were able to plan that in another week they would have to go to the Beit HaMikdash. So they became Tahor. Right. The Gam Mazet Chuval Mashen Emar Lashon Amira Beit Pa'amim. And also, he doesn't understand what this has to do with the nature of the language that's used in the Pasuk of Leymar and Amira. He says he doesn't understand all that. Achal Einyan al Pima Shedarshu b'Midrash Rabbah v'cheinu b'Midrash Tehilim. He quotes a Midrash. Al HaPasuk Yir'at Hashem Tahora Omedet La'ad. Right, this the Pasuk says that the fear of God, a pure and a clean kind of fear of God, is forever. Min yirah shenitjarei aharon milifnei hakodesh baruch hu, kmo shenemar etnam lo morav yirani. These are all parts of the questions that he asks. Now I'm going to skip. To which line? 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 12, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Line 19. The first word in the line is Tamid. I'm on the sixth word. Lachei nesar lo vanav ad sof kol hadorot tumat hamet. He says, against the logic that the pre-tzaddik said, we all know that a kohen, even bisman hazeh, even in our day, is also, he's not allowed to go to a place where there's a closed place where there's a dead body. So you know that there are all sorts of arrangements for Kohanim to go to a hesped before the burial, and burying Kohanim near a road in the graveyard so that others can come and visit him, other Kohanim can visit the grave. So we know that there's no Beit HaMikdash. We haven't had Beit HaMikdash for 2,000 years. The Kohanim are still Tameh. Well, what about the questions that the pre-tzaddik asked? What does it mean they're Tameh? What are they Tameh about? And there's no way for them to become untameh. Not only is there no way for them to become untameh, but even if they're Tameh, they can't become Tameh. Does that make sense? Even if they are Tameh, and everybody today is Tameh, because it's inconceivable that somebody has not come into contact with a dead body or with a person who came into contact with a dead body. So that means that, or bones, or, you know, I mean, it's a very common thing. And so it's not just that the Kohen can't become Tameh, but even if he's Tameh, he can't become Tameh. That's how powerful this prohibition is. But what happened to the questions of the pre-tzaddik? What do I need all this chumrah for with the Kohanim? After all, there's no Beit HaMikdash. There's no Korbanot. There's no service. There's no avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beit HaMikdash today for which we need Kohanim exclusively. We also have no way of producing Kohanim that are Tahor. You need the Beit HaMikdash. You need Paraduma. You need... So that's it. Every Kohen in the world simply piles up Tuma, you know, day after day, month after month, year after year. It just every time you come into contact with some sort of Tuma, which, as we said before, is very likely, right? You're doing something wrong. You're doing something wrong. I want to talk about the nature of the wrong that you're doing. So that's the pre tzaddik says, Lechein ne'salo levanav asod kol adorot, tuma tamei. You can't become tamei to dead. Af bizman hazeh sheim tamid kimo b'mikdash. Sheim tamid kimo b'mikdash. He comes up with this idea, the pre tzaddik. It's an idea that I want you to understand. Shehem, Abizman hazeh, Shehem tamid kimo b'mikdash. וזהו אמור על הכהנים, ואמרת להם שאף שיש להם קידושו, זו צריך משה רבנו להכניס בהם קידושו זו. וכמו בקידוש, בחורות, etc. ועל זה נאמר, I'm skipping another two lines, אמור על הכהנים, ואמרת להם אמירת בלחישה, כמו שכתב בזוהר הקדוש. להכניס בהם הקדושה, Sheyeh noheg parashat zolidorot. This is the remarkable thing that we're living with, right? The remarkable thing. When the Mishkan was built, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, "Bikrovaya kadesh." The Beit HaMikdash will become real. Bikrovai, with those who are, something is going to happen. Something is going to happen which is meta halachic. It's like a God saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't have to think about it. You'll just get it. You build it, you put it down, you put it up, you put it down, you put it up. You do what you could do. You do what Moshe Rabbeinu could do, but you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are not. I mean, somebody has to do something. Somebody has to do something special, something remarkable, which will make the Mishkan into a Mishkan. And that something is hidden behind that phrase, Bikrovai Akadesh. I will become sanctified, meaning that the Beit HaMikdash will be operative. The Beit HaMikdash will be operative even if you don't do it. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, did not do it. And we know that Aaron HaKohen couldn't do it either because when he wanted to bless the people, it didn't come out right. But we're not getting involved in that. Here the pre-tzaddik says something very remarkable. He says, you know why the Kohanim have to avoid becoming Tamei? You know why the Kohanim have to avoid changing the way they are? Because this is what he says. He says, Tuma tamet ab bizman hazeh, sheim tamid kimo b'mikdash. That's where they are. The Kohanim, they're in the Mikdash. Why did he say such a thing? Why did he say such a thing? It was Nadav Avihu. Nadav Avihu represented the idea that they were at home in the Beit HaMikdash. They weren't interested in denying the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. They weren't interested in losing their minds to the drunkenness that Rabbi Ishmael mentioned that continues the parasha in Shmini. They weren't there at all. What they were was absolutely comfortable in the Beit HaMikdash. They saw the Beit HaMikdash open the door, a gate, to higher levels or to significant levels of achievement. It wasn't just you came to the Beit HaMikdash, you came to the Mishkan when God called you, but you could actually call God to the Beit HaMikdash. And that's Bikrova Akadesh. That's what Akadesh means. That somebody came and said, we want this Mishkan, this tabernacle. We want to have a Beit HaMikdash. We need it. We need it. We're going to prove that we need it. We're going to prove we want it. We prove we need it. And in heaven they said, what are we to do? What are we to do? This is not the way that people will be able to put up with things. It's not the way that we designed it. But after Bikrovai HaKadesh, everybody will come at the appointed times. You can't run the people of Israel for Nadav Avihu. You can't wait until everybody becomes committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not the way the Mishkan is affected. Not affected. So at the same time, you had Nadav Avihu B'Krovai HaKadesh creating the Mishkan, the tabernacle. They created it because they called God to come. They said, we, Nadav Avihu, want to burst through the gates of Zeh Shaar HaShamayim, Yaakov Avinu, Shaar HaShamayim, the gate into heaven. We want to burst through and get to that heaven. Nadav Avihu proved that we could have a Mishkan. But at the same time, in heaven, it was determined that we can't be followers of Nadav Avihu. We have to be followers of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nadav Avihu, they had special spiritual qualities. And those spiritual qualities were expressed when they took the Ketoret sacrifice, unrequested, undetermined. Vayered Eish Min HaShemayim, the fire came down from heaven. You know that there were several examples of a fire coming down from heaven and consuming the sacrifice. In this case, the fire came down from heaven and consumed Nadav Avihu. It was as though in heaven they tried to explain to Bnei Yisrael, you can't be Nadav Avihu. You have to live in a world of limits. Nadav Avihu, they did a great thing, but not every great thing is transferable, can be part of the future, can be the basis upon which we build the future of Torah observance. So Nadav Avihu, they did a great thing. They were consumed by fire like a sacrifice. Could there be a higher response, a more significant response? But the people learned that Nadav Avihu was not the model that they would take with them to the Beit HaMikdash. But they would wait patiently, Moshe Rabbeinu, and then after Moshe Rabbeinu, until they're called by heaven to come to the Beit HaMikdash. And so this quality, this genetic aberration that Nadav Avihu had is probably in all the Kohanim. So all the Kohanim have to constantly prepare themselves for working in the Beit HaMikdash, because as far as they're concerned, the Beit HaMikdash is not absent. Yes, it's not built at the moment, but it will be built. And since it will be built, they are still Kohanim. They still have that inheritance from the Dav Avihu. The Beit HaMikdash is theirs. It belongs to them. And therefore, even doing something that doesn't seem to have halachic credibility, like thinking about Tum'ah, Tum'at HaMet, again and again and again, is reasonable for the Kohanim. They all find it a reasonable thing to do. And the Pritzadik says, they are the Mishkan. It's with them all the time. The building is not there, but the soul of the building is in the Kohanim. And so they have to respond to that and act it out. Have a wonderful Shabbos.